Unit 12, page 117, Literature, Exercise 3, The Lost World by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Professor George Challenger and his friend Lord John Roxton, together with a reporter and some local guides, one of whom is named Gomez, travel up the Amazon River to find a plateau. Challenger claims he has visited the plateau before, and that there are prehistoric creatures living there. Also with them is another professor who dislikes Challenger and doesn't believe his claims. The reporter narrates the story.
The very next day, we did actually make our start upon this remarkable expedition. We found that all our possessions fitted very easily into the two canoes, and we divided our personnel, six in each, taking the obvious precaution, in the interests of peace, of putting one professor into each canoe. At dawn and at sunset, the monkeys screamed together and the parrots started making their high-pitched noise. But during the hot hours of the day, only the loud noise of insects, like the beat of a distant surf, filled the ear. While nothing moved amongst the solemn views of the huge tree trunks, fading away into the darkness which held us in. Once some creature, an anteater or a bear, walked clumsily amid the shadows. It was the only sign of life which I had seen in this great Amazonian forest. And yet there were indications that even human life itself was not far from us in those mysterious dark corners. On the third day out, we were aware of a strange, deep, rhythmic beat in the air, coming and going, on and off, throughout the morning. The two boats were moving within a few yards of each other when we first heard it, and our guides remained motionless, as if they had been turned to bronze, listening intently with expressions of terror upon their faces. "What is it, then?" I asked.
"Drums," said Lord John carelessly. "War drums. I have heard them before."
"Yes, sir, war drums," said Gomez. "Native people, aggressive, not friendly. They watch us every mile of the way, kill us if they can."
"How can they watch us?" I asked, gazing into the dark. Gomez shrugged his broad shoulders.
"The native people know. They have their own way. They watch us. They talk the drum talk to each other. Kill us if they can."
By the afternoon of that day, my pocket diary shows me that it was Tuesday, August 18th. At least six or seven drums were beating from various points. Sometimes they beat quickly, sometimes slowly. Sometimes in obvious question and answer, one far to the east breaking out in a high-pitched beat and being followed after a pause by a deep roll from the north. There was something incredibly nerve-shaking and threatening in that constant noise, which seemed to shape itself into the words that Gomez used and endlessly repeated them. "We will kill you if we can. We will kill you if we can." No one ever moved in the silent woods. All the peace of quiet nature lay in that dark curtain of vegetation, but away from behind there always came the one message from our fellow man. "We will kill you if we can," said the men in the east. "We will kill you if we can," said the men in the north. That night, we tied our canoes with heavy stones for anchors in the center of the stream and made every preparation for a possible attack. Nothing came, however, and with the dawn, we pushed upon our way, the drum beating dying out behind us.